If the world were like a Sleep Number mattress, everything would adapt for your comfort. Because as your life changes and your body changes, Sleep Number mattresses adapt and shift to give you personalized comfort night after night. And now everything's on sale during our Memorial Day event. Save up to $1,200 on mattresses for a limited time. To experience a whole new world of comfort, visit a Sleep Number store or go to sleepnumber.com. Sleep Number, to a good life's sleep.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. I'm John Hodge, joined by JC Abbott for our Three Down Nation CFL picks for week five. We're going to have picks straight up against the spread for this full slate. But first, JC, I got to say, I am pooped today. I am tired. I am exhausted. And that is because Canada Day, always a tough day for dog owners with all the fireworks. Well, yesterday, for the second straight year, Winnipeg simultaneously had thunderstorms. Thunderstorms plus fireworks plus dog equals catastrophe. Shout out to my dog for surviving the night, though my goodness, it was not easy trying to get her to settle down.
I'm pretty lucky my dog's good with the fireworks, which would be a problem this week. We don't have thunderstorms, but I can look across the water from my house at the Americans. So we also get the July 4th fireworks visible from my house as well. So it's a double hitter if you've got a dog that's anxious in my area.
Shout out to your dog for being good with fireworks. Mine is terrible. She hates the thunder. She hates fireworks. It is her natural enemy. Like, a lot of people think dogs and cats are natural enemies. Honestly, I think that beef got quashed years ago. Dogs and cats, pretty cool with each other. They're often there to play with each other, cuddle with each other, whatever. Dogs and loud noises, to me, those are the natural enemies. It's like fire and ice, oil and water. There is no love there. And I have no love for having to stay awake until she is finally ready to settle. After these loud, disruptive noises, it was not a fun night in my household.
My dog's beef isn't with fireworks. It's with the noises from Family Feud, like the ding for the correct answers. Oh, it drives him insane. It's the only thing he barks at. He normally, if he hears a sound outside, he just sort of chuffs. He goes, but if he hears the dings from Family Feud, he goes ape.
Wow. Family Feud. So he's got a feud with the feud, is what you're saying.
He's got a feud with the feud. He has a thing against Steve Harvey.
Apparently. My dog loves... she doesn't react to anything on the TV. She loves any guests, visitors. It doesn't matter who comes up, rings the doorbell, knocks on the door, whatever. She does not bark when people come to the door. She gets excited. She wiggles. She wags. She loves all people. The only time she gets afraid and antsy is those loud noises. So anyway, I'm glad that the fireworks day is over. I am not close enough to the border to have to worry about the 4th of July. So we're good to go for another year, JC. We're good to go. Mind you, if the Bombers win the Grey Cup at home in November, there might be some fireworks then. At least that's several months away. I don't have to worry about it until then. And knock on wood, there won't be a thunderstorm in November in Winnipeg. I don't think there will be, but you never know with this weather that we have here on the prairies. Let's get into it, JC. The Calgary Stampeders are 3-point home underdogs to the Winnipeg Blue Bombers in the first ever edition of the Stampede Bowl. Winnipeg will have reigning CFL MOP Brady Oliveira back in the starting lineup after a 2-game absence, while the Stampeders will dress veteran linebacker Kyle Wilson just 1 week after he joined the team from Hamilton. Can the Blue Bombers improve to 4-0 and cover this spread, or can the Stampeders get the upset?
Well, first of all, kudos to the Calgary Stampeders, because I think this Stampede Bowl initiative that they've created is super cool. There's going to be a trophy on the line for this game. There's going to be lots of fanfare. Kudos to them. It'd be really great if they could win that game and sort of back up what they've done on the marketing side. Unfortunately, I just don't think it's going to happen, Hodge. The Winnipeg Blue Bombers are too good as a football team. We saw them excel through the air last week. Zach Collaros looked like he was 25 and in prime form. And now they're getting Brady Oliveira back in the backfield. And for as good as the Stampeders start to the season did look. I think that was inflated by some of the opponents that they were playing at the time. And I don't think Kyle Wilson, as an addition at middle linebacker, is going to make a world of addition of a difference in terms of their strength against the run and being able to stop Brady Oliveira, right? He didn't do it for the Hamilton Tiger Cats, so why can you expect him to do it for the Calgary Stampeders? I think that's a bit of a fool's errand. They're going to have to wait until Adam Big Hill is healthy to really shore up that defense, in my opinion. So I've got the Bombers covering this spread and beating the Calgary Stampeders on the road.
I've got the same pick. Adam Big Hill will not dress, as you said. Also at Reggie Bagleton with a leg fracture. He's obviously out long-term for the Stampeders. I think that's a big loss. He's their best receiver, in my opinion. And look, I'm high on what VA has been able to do in this offense. He's yet to throw a touchdown pass, which is wild, but the stats, I don't think, speak as well as he's played. And I do like some of their other targets, Jalen Philpott. I don't know if you can call it a breakout year because I think he's already broken out, but he seems to be ready to take his game to a 1,000-yard level. Tevin Jones, I think, has a nice deep threat option. Dominic Rimes started coming on a little bit for them last game. And the offensive line has been solid despite an injury to Bryce Bell, who got moved to the 6-game injured list. But I don't think this Calgary team is there yet. Yes, they're 2-1 right now. Full credit to them. Well, they beat Nick Arbuckle and the Toronto Argonauts. They beat a very, very out of sync Hamilton Tiger Cats team week one. There was a time when Dave Dickinson was darn near unbeatable coming off the bye. Yes, the Stampeders are coming off a bye. I don't think that's the case anymore. I think Winnipeg is on another level. They won by 13 points last week, JC, despite not getting their best effort from their defense. Yes, they kept Trey Ford in the pocket, but they also had a huge breakdown in the secondary. Miscommunication, according to Jamal Parker and Evan Holm, who I spoke with after the game, on a 70-yard touchdown to Keon Julian Grant. And offensively, this team did not play very well when they went to BC and won in week three. So if this team is able to put together a full phase game, I don't think the Bombers just win this game and cover the spread. I think they win it by double digits. And getting Brady Oliveira back against a team that, as you mentioned, with the injuries and the linebacking core, has struggled against the run at times this season. I don't think this game has to be close. I'm happy to get Winnipeg at +3. I would be happy to take them up to certainly 5 points, maybe even as high as a touchdown.
The Hamilton Tiger Cats will visit the Toronto Argonauts on Friday night for the first of 3 meetings between the rival clubs this year. Though the Argonauts opened as short underdogs, this game is now a pick 'em. Both teams are coming off their first wins of the season as the Tiger Cats shocked the previously undefeated Montreal Alouettes, and the Argonauts got 2 non-offensive touchdowns to beat the Red Blacks. Who will win this weekend's Battle of Ontario?
Full credit to the Argonauts for the win last week. Derek Sluka having a legendary breakout game with a 105-yard fumble return touchdown, a 120-yard blocked field goal return. That said, you're not going to get miraculous 100-plus yard touchdowns from your defense and special teams every single week. Without those, the Argonauts would have lost that game to the Red Blacks, as we picked on our show unsuccessfully last week, JC. We both had the Red Blacks in that one. That was not a fruitful pick. But again, this is the CFL. Anything can happen. That's one of the things that makes this league great and entertaining. And obviously, the Argonauts were the beneficiaries of that last week. I do not see that happening again. Yes, this game's at BMO Field. The Argonauts do draw better there than they have the last few years. And I've said it before. I've been to those games in person. That crowd is mightier than they look on television. That said, we're going to have lots of Ticats fans heading up the QEW for this one. Greg Bell is going to be back. The Tiger Cats are a pretty darn healthy team right now. Granted, Colter Woodmansey, one of their starting offensive linemen, looks like he's going to be questionable for this one. But you look over at the Argonauts, Chad Kelly's not going to play this week. Both of their running backs, Mayan Williams and Deontay McMahon, likely not to play this week. Darius Sirocco is still out. Jack Cassara, top special teamer, still out. And Wynton McManus, arguably a top defensive player in the entire CFL, also likely still out. I just think the Argonauts are too banged up, Full credit to them again last week for the win, playing desperate football, trying to get that first dub. I think the pressure is off of them a little bit. Ryan Dinwiddie's rant that evidently worked in helping motivate his team, I think, is worn off. I think it's time for the Ticats to get to 2-2 and get this win.
I'm in total agreement with you, Hodge. This may shock you to hear, but it is different to play Bo Levi Mitchell than it is to play Dustin Crum. These are very different quarterbacks with very different skill sets, and I think Bo Levi Mitchell can exploit some of the holes in this Argos defense that Crum was not able to do last week. And as you mentioned, this Argos team is extremely banged up right now, and I'm concerned about their ability to protect Nick Arbuckle, which has been poor at the best of times, but I don't think people are truly appreciating what the potential loss of Mayan Williams this week could do to that issue, because, you know, the Ohio State product has been good on the ground, but do you want to know who the best starting running back in terms of PFF pass blocking grade in the CFL is right now? It's Mayan Williams, with that offensive line in front of him that has had massive gaps and has allowed a ton of pressure off the edge. He has been covering up for some of those errors. If they don't have him in the lineup and it's going to Kalen LeBourne coming off the street, I think they're going to have some real trouble keeping Nick Arbuckle upright, and that's going to cause them to drop this game. I'm picking Hamilton, and frankly, I would pick them if this was up to, you know, 4.5, 5 points. I really feel strongly that this will be the Ticats game.
Yeah, I thought the Argonauts' offensive line looked better in week 4 than it did in week 3, getting Ryan Hunter back out to tackle. That said, it is still not one of the league's better units right now. I'm happy to roll with the Tabbies, a team that, without a marquee pass rusher, actually got after the quarterback quite a lot against a solid Alouettes offensive line in week 4. So I'm interested to see if the Tiger Cats are starting to build something there on defense. The Montreal Alouettes are 3.5-point home favorites to the BC Lions on Saturday night, despite coming off a disappointing loss to Hamilton. McLeod Bethel-Thompson struggled in his first game as Montreal starter, and it appears he'll start again this week as Davis Alexander continues his recovery from a hamstring injury. The Lions, meanwhile, appear hopeful that they'll have Nathan Rourke back in the starting lineup after a 2-game absence due to a core injury. Will the Alouettes right their ship, or can the BC Lions upset them on the road?
The Montreal Alouettes offense did not look good last week, Hodge, with McLeod Bethel-Thompson at the helm, but they put a whole lot on their backup quarterback because they dressed 3 running backs for that game and gave them a combined total of 4 carries. That just can't happen going forward if you want to play winning football. And I think Jason Moss is going to recognize that, particularly when you're going up against a BC Lions defense that has been extremely vulnerable against the run in a couple of games this season. Likely won't have Jonah Tavai, their best run-stuffing defensive tackle. Likely won't have Dwayne Hendricks, their best pass-rushing defensive tackle. And Matthew Betts is currently limited as the defensive end in that lineup. That's going to cause some reshuffling if he cannot play. So I'm going to pick the Alouettes to win this game because I think they can get enough from their ground game and get enough from their defense that they're going to be able to pull off the win. But I will be picking the BC Lions to cover this matchup because I think Nathan Rourke's going to play, and I think he makes a huge difference, right? There may be no starker difference in the CFL between a backup and a starter right now than Jeremiah Mazzoli to Nathan Rourke. I think he revolutionizes what that offense is capable of. I think he can take the top off. And even against a great defense like the Montreal Alouettes, he is going to be able to make a few plays and keep this at least respectively close. I'm not confident enough in everything they've got going on that Lions team to pick them over Montreal right now, but I think they can potentially cover this spread.
I actually have the exact same pick, JC. And for the record, we do not discuss our picks ahead of time. I am taking the Alouettes to win straight up. I think it'll be a very close game. I think this team does deserve some benefit of the doubt. Yes, they were miserable last week, especially on the offensive side of the ball, but I still think this is the top team in the East Division by a long shot. I think McLeod Bethel-Thompson deserves a second chance. This is a guy who, yeah, he's never been a top quarterback in the CFL necessarily on opinion polls and things like that, but he has once led the CFL in passing yardage. He has once led the CFL in touchdown passes, and he has technically won a Grey Cup as a starter. Like, this is not a guy who is unproven. He is somebody who I expected to go on and look solid last week. Unfortunately for the Alouettes, that was not the case. He really struggled. I think he has to be better in this one. I think he knows he has to be better in this one. I also think that maybe early in the week, he didn't anticipate that he'd be the starter. I know players always say that token thing. Well, I always prepare like I'm the starter. Well, sometimes I question whether or not that's true. Hopefully this week, McLeod Bethel-Thompson is preparing like he is the starter because he did not look prepared last week. And I think the Alouettes are a team that is built to lead in games. What I mean by that is they are not a super high-powered, deep-shot offense. They've been running the ball more than they ever have under Jason Moss early this season, and their defense loves to swarm to the football, keep everything in front of them. And that recipe works really well when you get a couple of early takeaways, put together a nice touchdown drive to start the game, and you can be more conservative down the stretch. I think what bit them last week is they fell behind early, and especially without David Alexander pushing that ball down the field, they struggled to come back, right? And I think that's what bit them. So if there was a competent defensive line, like a top defensive line for the BC Lions, I'd still be tempted to take them to win this game. But the injuries, as you laid out, to Hendricks and Betts are scaring me. Matthew Betts was a man possessed against the Saskatchewan Roughriders last week. Unfortunately, that elbow injury looks like it will keep him out this week. That's not guaranteed, though. Stay tuned to 3downnation.com as the week progresses. But I will take the Montreal Alouettes to narrowly get the win at Percival Molson. It's also a long trip for BC. That's the longest trip currently in the CFL, Vancouver to Montreal. I think that's a bit of a knock as well. So regardless of whether Austin Mack plays, he was DNP, by the way, with a hamstring injury on Tuesday. I'm taking the Alouettes to win this game, but a close one. I'm happy to take the BC Lions plus 3.5 against the spread. And again, if that D-line is healthy, I might just take them straight up as well.
The Edmonton Elks are 1.5-point home underdogs to the Ottawa Redblacks on Sunday, where they'll look to avoid falling to 0-4. Edmonton showed improvement this past week, but still lost by double digits to the undefeated Blue Bombers. While the Redblacks appear to be getting franchise quarterback Drew Brown back from a hip injury that's cost him the past three games. Can Edmonton get a much-needed victory, or will Brown lead the Redblacks to a win on the road?
The Edmonton Elks cannot catch any breaks. They put together, I thought, quite a nice outing. Nice effort at Princess Auto Stadium. Unfortunately for them, they just ran into a buzzsaw with Zach Collaros having the game of the year so far for him. And, of course, a rollicking sold-out crowd in the Peg. That said, they've now got a home game here, and instead of drawing Dustin Crum, instead of drawing Matthew Schultz, like the last few Ottawa Redblacks opponents have, it looks like they're getting Drew Brown. And the Redblacks have also made a shuffle on their offensive line, cutting starting right tackle Darta Lee, which I think is a smart move for them. Darta Lee had a really nice fumble recovery in week four. He did not excel, however, in pass protection as Dustin Crum was forced at times to run for his life. So when you've got a reshuffled offensive line, you've got Drew Brown, who looked very good in week one, distributing the football over 400 yards in that great receiving core that the Ottawa Redblacks have. I just think that's going to be a little bit too much firepower for the Edmonton Elks to handle. I don't want to sound like an Elks hater. Again, I liked what they did on special teams this past week. They got a takeaway in Winnipeg. I thought their defense showed strides. Let's remember, yes, there was the Carrick Wheatfall touchdown, but Devondrick Bynum was in really good position to stop that play. The deep shot to Nick Debski was, again, a well-defended play. Debski, I thought, just made an exceptional play, and they also completely stifled Winnipeg's run game for the first three quarters of that matchup. So Edmonton, I think, is heading in the right direction. I know their fans are not very patient right now, given how poorly this team has played the last few years. And I do think this will be a competitive game. Trey Ford had arguably his best game as well. I just think this is too tough of a matchup. I will take the Ottawa Redblacks to win and cover this short spread. If this spread was up to a field goal, I'd be more tempted to take the Elks to cover. But right now, at almost a pick 'em, I'm going to roll with Drew Brown and the Ottawa Redblacks. I think the Elks are falling to 0-4.
Hodge, you missed the most intriguing part of this game. It's the Ed Hervey-Eugene Lewis grudge match. We're finally gigging it.
Absolutely.
After all the talk this offseason, now we finally get to see what this year's Edmonton squad looks like going up against Eugene Lewis. Frankly, I don't think that's going to be a huge factor in this game, but it will be a fun storyline to watch as we get closer to kickoff on Sunday. Logically, I'm with you, Hodge. I think the Ottawa Redblacks have the far superior offensive weapons. I think having Drew Brown back under center is going to make a huge difference for them. But in my gut, in my heart, I have a feeling, because we talked about on the podcast, this is about as close to a must-win game as you can possibly have in week 5. The Edmonton Elks need to show something. They need to show something at home if they want to have fan buy-in, if they want to get butts back in seats, if they want to prove everything they did this offseason. They can't drop to 0-5. And I think they know that. And I think Mark Killam knows that. And if there's anybody in the league I trust to go and stand on a table and rally the troops at a moment like this, it might be Mark Killam. It'll be his first time to do that as a head coach, but he's a guy that people want to run through walls for. So I think we're going to see a bit of an emotional jump from the Edmonton Elks in this game, because they need to show something and they know it. I think that will be just enough to get them past the Red Blacks in this game. I'm calling the upset for Edmonton.
It should be noted, the Elks have had a very tough schedule so far. Week 1, they had to go into a 52,000 crowd BC place for the Snoop Dogg game. Week 3, they have Montreal. Week 4, at Winnipeg. Like, these are all miserable games. That said, they've yet to even cover a spread, right? As much as they have shown some improvement, they have not covered a spread so far this season. In fact, they've not really come close. They were 4.5 points off covering the spread in Montreal, and that's the closest they've been. So I don't hate your pick, JC. Again, I think the Elks are an improving team, but personally, I believe 0-4 is in their future. For JC Abbott, I'm John Hodge. We thank you as always for checking out our Three Down Nation picks. We'll be back Monday for a full podcast episode.
If the world were like a Sleep Number mattress, everything would adapt for your comfort. Because as your life changes and your body changes, Sleep Number mattresses adapt and shift to give you personalized comfort night after night. And now everything's on sale during our Memorial Day event. Save up to $1,200 on mattresses for a limited time. To experience a whole new world of comfort, visit a Sleep Number store or go to sleepnumber.com. Sleep Number, to a good life's sleep.